My wife stood and told you about her mother. I can tell you a few more things about Lorraine. I was fortunate. God gave me two mothers and two fathers. Lorraine didn't know that she was going to have to raise a son, too. But she was one of the most loving women that I've ever known, other than my own mother. And I know that I got a little bit emotional when I was reading that song. But my mother used to sing to me all the time. And that was just one of the songs that she would sing. But that's some of the best memories that I have. And my favorite memory was in that song. It says that tea is for the tears she said she shed. I know that my mother shed tears. I think, a pretty good son, a pretty good boy. She called me a little old man, that I always took things real seriously. But you know, our mothers are godsend. Think of the... this wasn't part of my sermon, but think of the 2,000 stripling warriors. What's it say? It says that they didn't fear death because they were taught by their mothers. And they knew that their mothers knew. I think that part of the time we don't realize what our mothers know. I know that our children a lot of times don't think that we know very much at all. But I don't know, I might have mentioned this one time before, but our oldest daughter, Cherie, she went away to college, and she come home one weekend, and she says, "Dad," she says, "I joined the Army." I said, "Cherie, I thought you had plans." And she says, I did. And she says, "This is how I'm going to achieve them." She knew that I couldn't pay for Harvard. That was at her plans. But she also knew that there was an ability out there to get her education paid for. But after she come home from boot camp, or she didn't come home from boot camp, she wrote me a letter at the end of boot camp. And I wish I had been able to keep that letter. But we've had two fires, and a lot of our stuff was consumed. But the letter said, "Dad, I want to thank you for the way you raised us, because you made my life so much easier. Thank you." I'm sorry I'm so emotional. I've been sick. But this morning, I want to talk to you about some of the sermons that you've heard in the past. at how difficult it is for us to stand behind this desk and preach a sermon, because we know that sometimes we're going to hurt the delicate souls out there. And sometimes we have to stand up here and preach to apostles, to 70s. And sometimes we're called upon to preach to one person. I've had that obligation. I was called to Tennessee. My brother Joe Kidd called me down there when he found out that he had a tumor, and he wanted me to administer to him. And I had to preach to, well, it wasn't one person, it was two people. I had to preach to him and Betty. And sometimes preaching to a group is more difficult than preaching to one person or two people. I know when I was teaching, I was asked to teach a seminar at the college on the subject of pediatric emergency procedures. And sitting on the front row was the president, the vice presidents, two of them, and the dean, and all three of my department chairs. Made me very nervous. But I got nervous the first time I stood up and preached. I stood up before the East Local to preach my first sermon. And I prepared at least 2 hours. And I got it done in 15 minutes. So, but it made me feel like the first time I played ball. When somebody come across the line and hit me, it took all of the fear away. It made me concentrate on what I had to do. So I'm going to concentrate on what I have to do this morning. I'm going to ask you a question, and I'd like a response from the congregation. The question is, what is the most important function of the Church of Christ? What is the most important function of the Church of Christ?
Take the gospel into all the world.
Okay. And preach
repentance.
Okay. And it's to build up the kingdom of God. That is a purpose that we have, is we have to build up the kingdom of God. If we're to be part of this, we must first prepare ourselves by building up ourselves so that we can participate in the building up of the kingdom. However, we are asked other questions in the Book of Mormon. I'm going to ask you to turn to page 315, and those of you who do not have page numbers, it is Alma, the third chapter, the 27th through the 33rd verse. Page 315, Alma, the third chapter, the 33rd verse, or 27th verse. And now behold, I ask you, my brethren of the church, have you been spiritually been born of God? Answer that for yourselves. Have ye received his image in your countenance? Have ye experienced this mighty change in your heart? Do you exercise faith in the redemption of him who created you? Do you look forward with an eye of faith and view this mortal body raised in immortality and this corruption raised in incorruption, to stand before God to be judged according to the deeds which ye have done in this mortal body? Can you imagine to yourselves that ye hear the voice of the Lord saying unto you in that day, come unto me, ye blessed, for behold, your works have been the works of righteousness upon the face of the earth. I think those would be the most beautiful words that we could hear. Come unto me. Be saved in my kingdom. You know, he stands at that door and knocks. And we are to open that door. And I know that it's probably been said to you before that we have an image of that door, and there's no door handle on it. If the door's closed and Jesus is standing there knocking, you have to open the door. You have to take the step. You have to be the one to invite him in. I heard one man say one time, would you go to a party that you weren't invited to? I have another question for you, too. What baggage are you carrying? What kind of baggage are you carrying? Do you think that you're not worthy to talk to God? Do you think that you're not worthy to be one of his children? Do you think that you're not worthy to be his friend? I know I probably told this before, but it bears repeating. I had cancer. And I was back at work at the guard. I was sitting there talking to the guard, and he says, How did you manage having cancer? I said, well, I talked to my friend, and I knew that everything was going to be okay. And he says, what friend was that? And I told him, it was Jesus Christ. He says, oh, I can't talk to him. I said, why? He says, why would he want to be my friend? All the bad things that I've done, why would he want to be my friend? What kind of baggage was that man carrying? Do you carry some of the same baggage? Are you afraid to go talk with our Lord because of some of the things that you've done in your life? Well, I know for a fact that he is there waiting. Just as he's standing there waiting at that door, he's standing waiting for you to come and ask for forgiveness. And he is willing to forgive you of all your sins. One of my favorite parts of the Book of Mormon is when King Lamoni's father was talked to by, I think it was Ammon. And he said, he told King Lamoni's father, who was king over all the land, he said, he told me that there is a God. And if you are God, I will give away all my sins to know you. He would give away all of his favorite sins. What kind of favorite sins do you have? You have a television show that you watch that maybe is not quite right? Would you be willing to give it up? Actually, this talk should be given to young people. Because they have a lot of pressure. And I would like to ask them, are you willing to give up your favorite sins to know Christ? I've talked to some people, some young people, some older people too. And they don't feel that they're worthy. Why should God answer prayer? Because I'm not worthy. You got to go to Him. You got to go and get down on your knees, and you've got to lay all of your sins out before Him. Those things that weigh you down. When I prepare for a trip, Jewel always gets on to me about the way I pack. We might be going to Council Bluffs for a day or Oklahoma for a weekend, but when I start packing, and that at that time we were going in the truck, the entire back seat and part of the bed is full. I pack more than I need. Extra clothes, CDs, my books, things I do not need or could not possibly use in that short a time. I had the privilege of helping get the luggage from Brother Ely in. And when he opened his suitcase, he has it all compartmentized. And when he needs something, he knows right where to go to get it, including his books. But I overpack, and the pack gets heavy. And I'm sure that there's a lot of times that some of you overpack. I'd like to have you turn to Galatians, the 5th chapter, the 14th through the 26th verse. Galatians, the 5th chapter, the 14th through the 26th verse. And it should read like this: For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not be filled with the lust of the flesh. This is what some people have in their backpacks or their luggage. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye would be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I told you in the past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruits of the Spirit, this is what you should pack, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let's not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Sometimes we see this within the Church of Christ. We see that we don't do some of these things that we ought to do, such as love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance. One of my students, I noticed, was carrying a book bag. And he was struggling with it, and it brought back to my mind about carrying a backpack in the Scouts. When I was in the Scouts, I overpacked, just like I overpack a suitcase. I carried things that I didn't need nor couldn't use. This happens in our spiritual life. We put things in there that we don't need and we can't possibly use. I don't know whether I've told you or not, but I don't have any fingerprints. I went to get my carry permit, concealed carry. They tried to take my fingerprints, and they couldn't do it. Sometimes we make jokes that maybe we shouldn't make. And I said to the lady, well, that shows me that acid and sandpaper works real good. And she went and got the sheriff, and he come and took my fingerprints. But there's some things that you don't want to joke about. I'm going to read out of 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, And you probably know exactly what I'm going to read. This know also, 2 Timothy 3rd chapter, 1st verse. In the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Take these things out of your backpack or out of your suitcase if you packed them in there. And what I want you to put in there is found in Philippians. This is probably one of my favorite scriptures. Notice I said one of. Finally, brethren, Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye do, which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Those are the things that we need to concentrate on. Those are the things that we need to pack. Those are the things that will help us in the eternal life. I'm going to have you look up one more verse, scripture. Luke 21, 34 through 36. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and the day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. When you do these things, when you unpack those things, the cares of this life, from your suitcase or your backpack, whatever you're carrying around, it's going to allow you to put in better things, things that pertain to God. God asks us to be His children. He sent His Son to die on the cross for our lives, for our souls. I want to tell you right now, I confess that I believe there is a God. And I believe that God created all things, both in heaven and earth. And I believe He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so that we might come, find our way back to Him. We have been chosen to live in the best time possible, the time when Christ shall return to this earth. And it's our duty and our responsibility to prepare a place for Him. That place is called Zion. We have to prepare it here in our hearts first. And then we could have that literal Zion that we all hope for. There will be a Zion. There will be a temple. And Christ will come back and Will we be prepared? Ask yourself the question that Brother Allen asked. What are the 10 things that I can do to prepare for the coming of Christ? He didn't put it in those words, but what can we do? We are told in the Scriptures to be perfect, even as I am perfect. That's what He says. And that's our responsibility. I appreciate you being patient with me this morning. I was having a hard time the last few days, but I'm thankful that God allowed me to stand up here and speak in His behalf. And I've had the hiccups for 2 days. And you noticed I didn't hiccup once. I asked Him that He would take those away from me, at least while I was giving the sermon. I love you people. And my prayer is that we would all, every one of us, be found in His kingdom at the last day, that we would be able to look up at Jesus Christ and have Him say, "Enter in, thou good and faithful servant. Release you from all sin." If you want Zion,